Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John towards the end of your Bible. And so again, if we were to start at the back of the Bible, you would have the book of Revelation. You keep turning the other direction, James. Then you would come to the book of 3 John, 2 John, and then finally 1 John. 1 John, and we find our way in chapter number 2. The book of 1 John and chapter number 2. As a reminder, the book of 1 John is written for the purpose that we may know that we have this eternal life, and that throughout it, it is made to help secure believers, to let us know the new life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the benefits, the effects, the birthmarks that we find. So the book of 1 John is a very important book for a believer to be able to have things nailed down within their life and maybe even instruct them on some things that maybe they did not know with this brand new eternal life. Notice with me as we begin in the book of 1 John chapter number 2. The book of 1 John in chapter number 2, notice with me in verse number 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt had continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But the same as anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 John in chapter number 2? The book of 1 John chapter 2, and notice with me in verse number 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, notice the phrase, ye have an unction from the Holy One. Ye have unction from the Holy One. Now, this is something very important for believers to understand about the role of the Holy Spirit in this idea of unction. That's a strange word. It's a word we usually don't use in our vocabulary on a day-to-day basis, but the word unction. The word unction carries with the basic meaning of anointing. And we know that part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to take care of believers. Now, the roles of the Holy Spirit for the unsaved compared to the saved are different functions. He works with them in different ways. If you want a better study of the Holy Spirit, study what the Lord Jesus Christ told to his disciples in the Gospel record of John chapter 13 all the way to 16. Remember that Jesus Christ is walking with his disciples and he is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to the cross of Calvary in a matter of hours, and he's instructing his disciples about how they continue on without him. And that's a good question. How do we continue on without Jesus Christ being bodily with us? The answer is he's sending the Holy Spirit. He's sending, I'm another comforter. That word another means another of the same kind. Jesus didn't give us something less. He didn't give us something inferior. He says, this is just as good as if I was bodily with you. In fact, it's better. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can indwell all the believers at once and not just one location at a time. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes to live inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there's going to be lots of effects. The passage here in 1 John chapter 2 is speaking about the effects, the results of the Holy Spirit living within inside of us, and how the Holy Spirit can help us and teach us all things and guard us all things. What does it mean to teach us all things? Well, that's an important function within the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's job is to confirm. A lot of people will get confused saying, well, then I don't have a need of another teacher. Then why do I come to church? Why do I need a pastor? Well, because the way the Holy Spirit works is the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And as I teach and preach the truth inside of you, something says, that's true. It backs up my message. I don't have to convince you. I just have to tell the truth. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If I'm teaching what the Bible says, inside of you says, that's right. That's true. You see, he's giving us the evidence. He's teaching us all things. He's guiding us. We're going to see later on in the book of 1 John that part of the Holy Spirit's job is also to warn us. That's not right. Yeah. Something not right with that. You may not be able to get a Bible verse or quote something or put your finger on it, but something inside, there's something not right about you. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to teach us, to guide us, to give us that double check. Because there's many seducers in the world, which is what the passage is talking about here, is that this unction and what God does with this. If you don't mind, let's dive in a little bit more and understand the function of the unction the Holy Spirit gives within us, this feeling, this anointing, this guiding, this teaching, this directing that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. Notice, first of all, we recognize by this unction. We recognize by this unction. Notice with me in verse number 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, little children, now we've come across this term a couple times before. Remember that this is a term of endearment dealing with saved people. So again, the audience is saved people, not unsaved people. It says, little children, it is the last time, meaning the time before Jesus Christ comes back. Without a doubt, we're not in just in the last times, but in the last time of the last times. Yes. We're getting towards the end. Little children, as it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is there the last time. Now we know that the person of the Antichrist is going to be a very important figure within the tribulation period. He is mentioned in the book of 2 Thessalonians. He's mentioned inside of the book of Revelation. He's mentioned in a couple other times. But John here is not placing emphasis on the person of the Antichrist. But instead, notice again in verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. And now it's speaking here about this idea of Antichrist as a spirit. Now let's break down the word. The word anti, we would usually associate with the word of against. So many people would think that the Antichrist is the Antichrist because he is against Christ. But that word anti has a different meaning as well, that not only does it mean against, but quite often it means the word replace. So in it, this, the spirit of the Antichrist is not a spirit against Christ. It is a spirit that replaces Christ. What do we mean by this? That one of Satan's great tricks is to keep people religious. Remember, religion is different than a relationship. Religion is activity, things that we ought to do, lists and whatnot. And what it does is it replaces the purpose and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ within our life. And that we live in a time that tries to replace the God of the Bible with a different God, a different Jesus, a different system. For example, the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, is able to forgive us of all of our sins, full, free, and forever. Religion would like to pose a different Christ that is not enough to take away our sins, that we have to do something to help him out, whether it's good works or baptism or this or that or the other, that they like to replace the Christ of the Bible. And they've given us a different Jesus. We know that the Jesus of the Bible is different than the Jesus of the gospel songs or contemporary Christian music, Christian rap, Christian rock, Christian whatever else they have, inspirational. It is not the same Jesus. And people would get sucked up into this. Again, it is something that replaces the God of the Bible with a different Jesus. People would say, well, I'm still worshiping Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. You say, why are you making a big deal out of this? Because it is a big deal out of this. The Bible is going to give a very big deal about this in just a second. But the Holy Spirit, who is God, remember, we believe in a triune God, not three different persons, but one God in three aspects, God the Father, God the Son, the God the Holy Spirit, but they are co-equal, co-ruler, co-eternal. They are the same in different aspects. So the Holy Spirit is not going to teach a different Jesus than what it is himself.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so part of the Holy Spirit's job is to, because of it, God living inside of us, is able to say, there's something not quite right about that. Mm-hmm. Now notice, as it goes on, it's going to give an evidence that something's not quite right. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest or apparent to be made clear that they were not all of us. Now, this becomes a very important idea, that the whole purpose of the Christian life is to follow after Jesus. That's the whole goal. You cannot be saved without Christ, nor can you live the Christian life without Christ.
Amen.
And the idea of even a local church, how do we have unity in a local church? I was just talking to someone about this the other day. How do we have unity in a local church when everyone's looking at the same goal,
Amen.
Moving the same direction? When everyone's looking at Jesus and we're moving forward to it, then we have unity. And if we are doing our job, we're placing emphasis on looking to him and following after him, if people decide to go their own way, it was evidence that they weren't following after him. That makes sense. It's simple.
Yeah.
Jesus needs to be the goal. Our goal is to make a big deal. We're going to follow after him. Now, if you follow after man, well, then it's easy to see people start scattering.
Yeah.
It's easy to watch people start moving around. The same conversation I was in the other day, they were like, well, what happens when you deal with multiple interpretations of the Bible? I said, well, you're already on the wrong premise. The Bible is very clear in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 that no scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? In basic sense, it means that we are not supposed to find out what the Bible means to me.
Amen.
Because if I'm looking for what it means to me, it's going to mean something different to me than it does for you.
Amen.
What we're supposed to do is find out what did God mean when he wrote the Bible. And there are specific rules. In fact, there's a whole science called hermeneutics, which is the art and science of biblical interpretation. Do you know that we could all follow those rules and come to the same conclusion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because God wants us to know what a scripture is. He doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to keep looking at him. If we make him the goal and we're looking for what he wants, we're moving the same direction.
Amen.
That makes it simple. But when people start getting their own ideas, their own thoughts, their own things, then we start seeing scattering. We start seeing, and after a while, people who are religious but not saved are going to give up following after Christ. And it's going to be evidenced by them falling away. Now, when I mean falling away, that doesn't mean that, oh, they're going to a different church. It means falling away where all of a sudden they're Wiccans and believe in vampires. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That we understand that if some God leads someone, moves across the country, and they're joining another church, that's not what we're talking about.
Yes.
But we're talking about when they give up on Christianity as a whole. You know what? Forget this. I'm now a Buddhist. Forget this. I'm now Mormon. Forget this. I'm now whatever else. Well, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Why? Well, the goal is if we're all following after Christ, we're heading the same direction. Mm-hmm. We'll be moving.
Yeah.
And if God is the Holy Spirit's the one that's leading us, the Holy Spirit always exalts Christ. I'm trying to make it kind of simple. We make things complicated. The Bible makes it simple. And the Bible says, again, how do we tell that they are following a different Jesus? We're not going the same direction.
Amen.
If they're following a Jesus over here, we may look like we're going the same. Remember, that's the idea of discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is not seeing where people are at, but it's seeing where people are going. For example, Samantha and Krista come up here. We don't have a lot of room, but we're going to make it work. All right? Good. I want you to stand here. Stand here. Turn. Good. You go straight. Wait, no, no, wait, 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 wait. You are going to angle, okay? And when I tell you, you're going to go straight. You're straight.
Yes.
Okay. So, at the moment, they look like they're the same, right? They look like, now take one step each. Stay next to each other. Now, even now, they still like they're in the same place. Another step. Okay, now they're starting to be separate, but they still look the same. Someone who's not discerning will say, well, they're the same thing. Take another step. All right, maybe there's a little bit difference, but you know, that could be explained by preferences and whatever. Take another step. Okay, now you notice that as this goes on, there's going to be an increasingly different direction that they're going. Why? Because if we're following the same God, the same direction, we're moving the same place. Those who are following a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible, it will eventually be evidence that they've gone somewhere else. So you know that this isn't just talking about being mean. It's using the idea of discernment. You both can sit down. Thank you. The Holy Spirit can give us discernment. And part of it is by able to say, see where this is going to take you. See where this is going to go at. If you're following the God of the Bible, and we are all following, we're going to move together. If we've got our eyes on a different Jesus, a replacement Jesus, the Jesus of religion, the Jesus of the gospel song, the Jesus of Hollywood. By the way, there is not a single, I'll just put this as a clear thing, not a single movie by Hollywood that is about Jesus that is accurate or correct at all, period. I don't care if The Passion of Christ is your favorite movie. It is Catholic heavy and it will lead you to a different direction. If Jesus Christ Superstar is your favorite movie about Jesus, then we probably have some other things that we need to talk about. Because it is not the Jesus of the Bible. Especially when they want to cast the Wicked Witch of the movie Wicked as the new Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ Superstar.
What?
As I said, you have some issues if you've already... There. And we have to be discerning because this is what religion does. Religion doesn't say, I'm against Jesus. It says, we have provided you a different Jesus. This is why it's important for every believer to be in the Bible for themselves, because this is how we line it up. And this is why we develop discernment and the unction of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can guide us and help us to keep looking at Jesus and not get our eyes on a different Jesus that the Bible doesn't say. The Jesus of religion, the Jesus of these other things. Notice as it continues on in verse number 20. But ye, now remember the word but, here's the idea of the opposite of. But, what keeps us from falling away? We have unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That means that everything that we examine everything we go through, we can actually run it through the Holy Spirit. Is this something I should be part of? And if we are honestly willing to do his will, he'll show us. In fact, John 7:17, many of you have that Bible verse memorized. If not, maybe you want to jot it down somewhere. John 7:17, which gives this promise from Jesus. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Those of you know that I have a science background. I love that word know. That word know means to have evidence of, to have proof of. And that promise says that any man will do his will. Notice that the qualifier is willingness. If you're saying, Lord, if you tell me what to do and I will do it no matter what it is, you're willing. Amen. If you said, I don't care what God says, this is what I want to do, then you're not willing. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. That's a promise from Jesus. Well, with the Holy Spirit, we have the answer to that. Not in shining lights, not pepperoni pizza, not dreams. We're thankful for the Bible, but the Bible, if we could say, Lord, what is it? Should I follow this? Should I do this? The Holy Spirit can say, no. And if we're listening, we'll hear it. Yep. That's a wonderful thing of unction of the Holy Spirit, is that I don't have to go to a spiritual guru for answers. I go straight to God.
Amen.
Now, I'm thankful that God gives us wise counselors and a multitude of counselors, but even then, you're trying to discern what the Holy Spirit says as God is giving you the counselors. For example, if you come, Pastor, should I skip Sunday night church and watch the Super Bowl?
No.
All right. Well, I will say this is what the Bible has to say, and if you're willing, the Holy Spirit will back that up and say, you know what?
Amen.
Okay, yes, I'll honor you. The good thing is that we have streaming, recording, whatever else.
Exactly.
You're fine. Just stay away from the radio until you get home. You will be fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
You understand? There's other things. But, you know, there's plenty of people who go, I know I'm supposed to watch football. Okay, well, then you're not willing. So, you understand?
Yep.
If we want to know the truth and we're willing, he'll tell us.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. That's part of that unction. I'm thankful that it's not dependent on man, it's dependent on God.
Amen.
Are we willing to listen to God? You see, God wants us going the same direction. He wants us following after him. Notice as it goes on. Verse 21, I have not written you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So John is saying, I'm writing this because you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the ability to find truth if you want to know it. You know truth. The Holy Spirit's inside of you, can guide you. John says, I'm not writing this because you don't know truth. I'm writing this because the Holy Spirit lives within you and can guide you in all truth. Mm-hmm. That's part of what God's promised in John chapter 14 and 16, what the Holy Spirit's going to do for the believer. Notice again, verse 22, as we go back talking about this Antichrist is replacing Christ. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, someone who tries to say that Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, that Jesus is not God, that Jesus did not save us, that Jesus didn't bleed on the cross, that Jesus wasn't virgin born. You understand, this spirit of the Antichrist is spreading rapidly, especially within our religion. For example, the Methodist Church used to be very good, but now the United Methodists have on their website that they deny the virgin born Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus is virgin. That's part of their doctrinal statement now. Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Why? Jesus had to be virgin born to have a supernatural birth. Otherwise, he would have a sin nature and could not pay for our sins.
Amen.
That's an important doctrine. And so religion puts more and more. You take something like a Roman Catholic system that has the seven sacraments and that you have to go through all of those sacraments. They have allowed man-made religion to replace the Christ of the Bible. That Jesus' blood was enough. I accept that gift and that's all. He does the work. Jesus makes it simple. We make things complicated. And so we're not talking about those who are saying we hate Jesus. We're being discerning over those that have given a replacement Jesus and offered religion rather than a true relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice as it goes on, verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." This is a very big deal. Jesus made it clear that the only way that we can know the Father is by him. And if we know him, we'll know the Father. Those two are one. Remember, God is a spirit. We can't understand him unless he is made relatable. Jesus Christ is God robed in flesh for the purpose of being the expressed image of the invisible. God wants to be known, and through Jesus Christ, we can know God. But if we deny Jesus Christ, then we are not going to have a correct vision of who God is. We're going to have a false vision of who God is. All throughout the book of 1 John and throughout the last epistles within the Bible, this is the big deal. Because at this time, John is 90 years old. It's been 60 years since the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary, was buried on a borrowed tomb, rose again the third day, spent 40 days with his disciples, and then ascended up to heaven. In that time, two or three generations, there is a belief called Gnosticism that has come up. And one of the big tenets of Gnosticism has said that if Jesus was God, he could not have been here bodily. And so John's dealing with this. It's already all over the church. It's already in the belief system. And John's trying to correct it. No, I touched him. I handled him, the word of life. He's real. I'm a witness. I'm the last witness of that generation. He was real. I talked with him. I was the disciple that laid his head upon his breast. I hugged Jesus. He was very real then. But now there's a lot of people in John's day who are teaching that Jesus is not God, or that Jesus was not in the flesh. They're not denying Christ, but they're giving another Christ, a replacement Christ, not the Christ of the Bible. And so John is making a very big deal. It is the doctrine of Christ that we have to fight for. It is the basis of our fellowship, is what do you do with Christ? We're going to see that later on this year when we go through 2 John, where there's very important rules about the idea of the doctrine of Christ. It is our basis of fellowship. Now, I'll get to it anyways. Every once in a while, there's only several churches here in small little metropolitan Seymour. Every once in a while, they'll say, "Hey, preacher, we're going to get together and have a big shindig between all of the religions, and we're going to put together a big cantata and whatnot." And I just politely refuse. Why? Because they don't believe the same Jesus as me. "You're being mean." No, I just take what they say and they deny what the Jesus is. And the Bible says our basis of fellowship is not do we call ourselves Christian, but the doctrine of Christ. Amen. And it's a very big warning. 2 John, just read the book of 2 John and you'll see the warning. This is a very big deal in God's eyes. Why? Because my influence is a very big deal. My endorsement is a very big deal. And I can confuse people by endorsing something that's incorrect. We'll get to that later on. But for now, John is making a big deal that there's a spirit of anti-Christ. Not against Christ, but replacing Christ, giving us a different Christ. That's point one. Let's try to get to the rest of the points really quick. Second of all, we see we remain by this unction. Notice with me in verse number 24. "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life." We remain in the Lord because of the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't do anything to get yourself saved. And you don't do anything to keep yourself saved. That's God's job. And God does it good work. Remember that when you come to know Jesus Christ, your Savior, Jesus forgave you of all of your sins. Not just the stuff you used to do, but the stuff you're going to do today and the stuff you're going to do in the future. He paid it all. Now, that doesn't give me permission to do whatever I want, but it gives me a comfort that if I do sin, it's already been paid for. I'll never owe God the debt of hell ever again. The Bible gives many, many different pictures of what the Holy Spirit does for us. It says that he has sealed us with the Spirit. What does that mean? A seal back in those days is like a contract. They would take the wax, and then they would stamp it, and then it would be stamped. Well, that's wonderful that we're sealed. We're stamped with God's approval. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that he is our earnest of our salvation. What is earnest? Well, if you were going to buy a house, you would give earnest money. That shows that you're really serious about buying this. Well, how do we know that Jesus Christ is going to do what he said he was going to do and bring us to heaven? He gave us the Holy Spirit, which is his down payment, his earnest. And as long as the Holy Spirit lives within me, I know he's going to take me up to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? How do I know I'm saved? Because he lives within me. He's given evidence and proof. That's wonderful. There's so many things here that the Bible says about that we remain with his unction, that he's the one that keeps us saved. He's the one that takes care of us. We're still part of the family of God, not because of what we have done. Now, this makes it important. I don't do things for God in order to get something from him. I do things for God because of what he's already done for me. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit remains in me, my motive has changed. You know, if you're trying to work to stay saved, well, then you're working for the wrong motive. You're working out of duty. You're working because you have to. Oh, man, did I do enough? Did I go to enough churches? Do I go to enough masses? Did I say enough Hail Marys? Did I do enough confessions? It becomes a burden. That's not what God wanted for us at all. Instead, because I have the Holy Spirit within me, I'm thankful of what God has done for me. And I said, I'm glad to serve you because you've done everything they want. I serve him out of love, not out of duty. And that's what God wants most of all for us. He wants us to want to serve him, not serve him because we have to. The difference of motive. If I no longer have to work to be saved or stay saved, then I work because I get to, because I want to. That changes everything. It shouldn't be that I have to go to church. I get to go to church. Amen. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to give. I get to give. Amen. I don't have to tell people about the Lord. I get to tell people about the Lord. It changes everything. It changes everything when we have the Holy Spirit living within inside of us. Notice the third thing. We remember by this unction. Notice with me verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. John is now writing this and says, I want to warn you that there are people who are trying to lie to you. Amen. They're trying to seduce you to believe a different Jesus. Well, this is a big warning. I know that there are many people who are not discerning that thinks that everything that is considered Christian is good. That's why you have TV stations like TBN or Daystar or whatever else is out there. All of that is made to seduce you. By the time they've made it to that channel, they've compromised. Now, I know some people on that channel. They've compromised. There's something wrong. Yeah. Am I against being on TV? No, but I'm against being on that TV. The idea is that they're trying to seduce you. Now, of course, we know anyone who's looked at the history could laugh at some of the things that they've done and some of the goof, like, what are you thinking about? But there is a seducing work. Why? Because this is what Satan wants to do. Satan, his biggest idea is not to say he's against Christ, but to give you a different Jesus, the spirit of Antichrist. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you do not need any man teach you. The same as anointing teaches you all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as is taught you, and ye shall abide in him. Verse 27, as it speaks about this, it says there are seducers in the world, but it tells us that God has not left us as orphans. He will teach us. What do we mean by this? That means that you could turn on something garbagey like TBN, and you could see something inside of you. You say, I can't put my finger on it, but there's something not quite right about that. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's his job, is to point out there's something not quite right about that. Maybe you listen to a song and go, yeah, this is, I don't know what it is, but maybe it's some TV preacher, radio preacher. Or if I ever say something that's against the Bible, the Holy Spirit should say, yeah, something didn't quite hit right there. Wonderful. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That you may not have the chapter and verse. You may not be able to put your finger in it. But the Holy Spirit's able to guide us, if we're sensitive to it and dependent on, to tell us something's not quite right. He did not leave us spiritual orphans. He did not leave us without any tools so we don't have to be deceived. Is that wonderful? Because there's a lot of good snake salesmen out there who can sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo, who can convince people of anything. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit can protect us from that and give us warnings there's something not right. Something off with that. Notice as we continue in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, Jesus is coming back, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, this is a big deal. Jesus Christ is coming back. And we're going to have to face him for what we did for him. Remember, we're not being judged for our sin, but instead we're being judged on our work of what sort it is. What did we do for the Lord for his name's sake? Not because we had to, but because we want to. Our motives are going to be judged there. Can you imagine someone who honestly loved the Lord, but they were deceived? And they gave lots of money. Let me give an example. I am independent Baptist by conviction, but I did not start off independent Baptist. I started off in the Southern Baptist Convention. And part of the thing that the Southern Baptist Convention does is they have what is called the Cooperative Fund, which sounds like really good in practice. It's the idea that every local church gives extra money and puts it into a big pot that the Southern Baptists take care of. And with it, they pay off some of their things. For example, missionaries. Here we have missionaries that have to go to church and ask for each local church to give. And the Southern Baptists, you show up to their panel, they'll clear you, and they say, here's some money, go. It's much more efficient. You get them out in the field. That sounds great, except that it pays for all of their funds, including their seminaries, where they pay college professors to teach their students that the Bible's not true. I should have some problems that my money that I give to God by faith out of worship to him goes to pay for someone to teach someone that the Bible's not true.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons why I left. I could not in good conscience continue in that. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who are deceived. And they're going to stand before the Lord and say, did you know what your money was being used for? I'd be ashamed if I found out that my finances were being used to teach people the Bible wasn't the word of God.
Right.
That's a big deal. I would be ashamed if I found out that I was supporting someone who was ending up teaching people false doctrine and leading people to a place where they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's a big deal. And so learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, learning to allow God to guide us into all truth, following after him, is going to help in the long run when I meet Jesus that I don't have to be ashamed. It doesn't mean that I'm not perfect, but I try to follow after you. And I tried to do what I could wisely as I listened to you and I was following after you. This is a big deal because we will stand before God and give an account. And I want to have a good accounting. Thankfully, he's given his Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth so I don't have to guess. He's given us his word, his Holy Spirit. He wants us to succeed in this. We have unction with the Holy One. Now, I know that today's lesson was a lot more doctrinal, a lot more packed, but it's important. And it's in the kindergarten level of 1 John, which is the idea that we should know this right away. This should be a very big deal. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord and pray, and then we're going to open up for questions. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, thank you again that we have unction from the Holy One, that your Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth, that we can depend upon you, that you are the great teacher. And that as we depend upon you, that even though we have human counselors, other human teachers, it's you that we're dependent upon to show us truth, to guide us in all truth, to show us who Jesus is and to follow after him. I'm asking that you would just use this to help us. Without a doubt, this probably stirred some ideas, some thoughts, some questions. Help us to be able to use this time wisely to answer these according to the Bible. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.